Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We got a great show for you today. A really interesting one that Kyle's going to talk about here in a second. We are listening to Mental Health Matters, KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. I'm Dr. Scott Terry, and today's issue, well, we'll let Kyle introduce today's issue. The shows are archived at KRUU. Go to the radio station, go to the website, and check it out. They're also archived, an FYI, at the Art and Counseling Center YouTube channel. So check it out. Give us an email, scott@artandcenter.com, and let us know what you think, and let's create something amazing today, this very day. Kyle, what's the show today?
Hi, everyone. My name's Kyle. I'm an undergraduate intern of Dr. Scott Terry, and our topic is how to have a healthy relationship with someone who has had trauma. Have you ever met someone and their whole life is about their trauma, and they talk about it, and it's their story, it's what makes them who they are, and this can be any range from just being child abused as a child, or just having any relationship that didn't work out, and they're sort of holding on to that. Or it could be like a very serious health problem where you've had your colon removed, or you've had a near death experience, and you've gone through all this pain. Maybe you've had maybe you barely survived some form of lymphatic cancer or something. These people can either create something from that trauma. They can create, do a lot of good in the world. Some people who have had trauma have go on to, you know, publish books and to help people who are trying to get through those experiences, and they're making a real difference in this world. And other people are sort of just lingering on that trauma. It defines who they are. So the difference to me between a person with trauma who is sort of in a more healthy state versus someone who's sort of lingering is that the trauma, they use that trauma as a story. They're not attached to that trauma anymore. It means something to them, means something in life. They don't deny that it exists or that it happened, but it doesn't define who they are. And when you talk to them, they're not angry about what happened to them. They're not sad about what happened to them. They've experienced these feelings, and they experience feelings, but they're not so attached to what happened to them, to their trauma, to the point where it defines who they are. What do you think about that, Scott?
I think that we could carry that over out of the notion of even trauma into, you know, I'm a lawyer and I think like a lawyer, and I've over-identified with what I do or who my partner is. My partner is beautiful and they're this. Well, what if they're not beautiful anymore? They've aged or whatever. Essentially, it's an existential question. It's a beautiful question. And it's one that I bring up in session all the time. And I start a lot of sessions where I'll start with this notion of what is the story? Because everybody's coming into session with, here's my story. And that story has meaning and power and purpose to them. But to me, as the outsider, it has no meaning. And it has no meaning or a different meaning to somebody else. We over-identify with our stories. And so what I say is, what is it you're creating from your story is always what's important. It's not what the story is. It's what am I doing with that story? So, you know, we all have these stories, we all have this meaning and purpose we've given to it, but you could also change that story. If you're too locked into, this is who I am, this person is doing this bad thing to me, here's my story of woe, here's how I'm a victim, then I'm trapped in my story.
Right.
And I can't escape.
It almost sounds like PTSD. It's really profound what you say about work. You're over-identify with your role at work as a lawyer. You know, I remember being a fencing coach, and it was my job to analyze and critique. And I found this in my relationships. So being a fencing coach, I'm coaching, I'm analyzing, critiquing, and then I'm in a relationship with someone, and then I'm analyzing and critiquing them all the time. And that doesn't work. I have my social role as a coach, and then when I am with a loved one, I have my social role of being with that loved one. It's two different roles.
Well, you know, and it's, we could even take it a step further. So sometimes it's not as direct as I'm getting lost in my job, my role.
Right.
I'm a teacher, and so I'm here to nurture people. Well, maybe that works in that one setting, but
right.
doesn't work in a different setting at home, because maybe now I'm caretaking
right.
or trying to teach my husband, let's say, but that doesn't work because I'm no longer a partner with my husband.
Right.
I'm trying to change my husband. I'm trying to educate him. Well, no, now I'm trapped in a role that doesn't work for me.
Right. Now, this feeling of entrapment can come over time. And so now we have a relationship with someone who has had trauma. What would you say to someone who has an autistic child, and that the parent has the autistic child, and now the autistic child is 40 years old, and they can live on their own. They're able to live on their own and make a real difference in the world. There's so many people with autism.
High-functioning. I have a lot of clients that have high-functioning autism, or used to be called Asperger's.
Right.
You know.
And they're making a big difference in the world. They're doing a lot of help.
And in fact, there's now employers specifically seeking that high-functioning autistic brain, by the way, because that sense of what that brain needs, that sense of routine and functionality to have things be organized and structured and to be able to see the nuances and the patterns in things.
But if you're a parent, you just see them as a helpless child, maybe, and you take care of them all their life, and now they're 18, and they've been taken care of all their life. They've never gained any independence because the parent hasn't allowed them to, and now they can't do anything for themselves. They can, but they choose not to. Why do something?
Well, it's a learned helplessness.
Right.
They have not learned how to be other than helpless. So, I mean, I give the example of I've had clients who, let's say the child was cerebral palsy or something terrible. And if the parent wasn't there 24/7, the child literally could die. The problem is that if you enable that child so much, you caretake that child because there's such a great need that's so obvious to yourself and to the world. The problem is the child then never learns to take care of themselves. What happens if that child survives? And then they go to school, and then the teacher says, you have to do the assignment. And the child has learned helplessness and never to take care of themselves. Then
right.
they can't do that.
Right.
They can't handle the demands of the world upon them.
Right.
Because they expect to be taken care of.
Right. So now let's say that a person is ready. They've had something traumatic happen to them. They've gone through, maybe their parent died when they were a kid, or they went through cancer as a kid, or maybe they went through cancer in their 40s, or maybe their appendix exploded, or something really life-threatening. They've gone through some really intense trauma, but now it's some years later, and they're ready to be on their own, but there's this lingering codependency, this learned helplessness. How do you handle that?
Well, I mean, I think that's a really interesting question. And so you as the listener, how do you get out of that state? Because we all get into that a little bit.
Right. If you're there's two aspects. There's sort of two aspects. There's the person who is there in that state. They have the learned helplessness and they've had the severe trauma.
Mm-hmm.
How do you enable the people around you so that you're not depending on them? And, you know, it's okay to be in relationships and to have help and support. And then also, how do you be the person who is in relationship with that person who has had that severe trauma and not create a dysfunctional relationship with them?
So now we're talking about the notion of relationship. So first is I need to deal with my sense of self. How do I take back my power and not to over-identify with my trauma or my situation or who I am? And again, I was going to use a small example of an even deeper state of that where it's not so obvious, where I'm using that thinking pattern. So I had some clients recently that were professors, and the way that they approached everything was an over-intellectualization. They overthought everything. they overthought, they thought through their feelings instead of felt what they felt. And they didn't know how to actually be in action to change their lives so that their lives actually worked. They over-identified with who they, not just who they were, but the thinking behind it. So when we come to the trauma, how do you not get lost in that trauma, in that victim state of who I am? And how do I get back to empowering myself?
Right.
So I freely tell everybody, I disclose about my trauma of almost dying in a mountain biking accident 10 years ago. And then instead of getting trapped in that victimization, that self-victimization, woe is me, I can't drive, I've now lost my big practice, I've now lost everything that's happened, all my money, all my this, all my that, I'm in a terrible relationship and my life is woe.
Right.
Instead of going, no, I'm going to re-empower myself step by step. And since then, I created this very large practice. You know, I have over currently over 50 clinicians that work under me.
Wow. And it's amazing that, you know, part of your story is you got injured in a mountain bike accident. So most people would never ride a bike again, maybe. But you healed yourself through riding a bicycle.
Yeah, exactly. I re-empowered myself through the very means, right? So I became a professor, which I wasn't before. And right. part of the way I did that is because I biked. I had to do a 40-mile bike ride every day. You know, I mean...
14 or 40?
14. 40 would have been good, too. Yeah. But, you know, and it wasn't that big of a bike ride, you know, but it's that same kind of thing of where am I at that moment? How am I reconceptualizing my story to create a new story?
The miles should get larger every time.
Okay, 4,000 miles. Yeah, right. Okay. So it's but it, you know, the story isn't important. The pitch about what I did after it isn't important. It's right. important what we create from our own stories.
Right. You don't even have this pride. You don't even have this, look at what I did. I rode 14 miles to work every day after this and that. That's not how you define your ego. That's not even
right.
how you define yourself.
I could care less
care less that you had this trauma, but it's a fact that it happened to you, but you don't identify with it.
Right, exactly. The story doesn't have power. It's only as useful as it is.
Who are you? Who do you identify with then?
Right. I identify with what I'm creating today, what I could do today. It's not based upon ego. It's not based on, oh, I've got lots of degrees and I'm this. It's like, who cares?
Right.
My degrees don't define me. My practice, my this, my that, my accomplishments don't right. define me. It's what am I, every day is a new opportunity
right.
to create something more and to be alive.
And as a person with that trauma, how did you get people to, because, you know, there's the two things. There's the person with trauma,
right.
and they can either...
And then how do I have a relationship with others?
Relationship with others that's healthy and not codependent and not, hey, I had this thing happen
yeah,
to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that story is a really interesting one because where I succeeded was in reconceptualizing that trauma for myself and taking power over it and doing something powerful with it. I created all this great stuff from it, yada, yada, yada. But what I didn't do at that time, which I never discussed and I never thought about, is that I felt devastated by the relationship I was in at that time.
Right.
Until a year afterwards when I like go, oh my God, I'm free.
Was it a codependent one?
It was a codependent one, and she wouldn't be codependent with me, and I wanted her to be codependent with me.
Right.
I wanted somebody to save me, to rescue me, even though I was rescuing myself, even though right. I didn't need her to.
Yeah.
And so I was really healthy with myself. I wasn't healthy in my relationship with the other. I gave her too much power. And then when she rejected me, I gave her too much power to hurt me.
Right.
Instead of going, you know, my power is mine, the relationship right. wasn't working for
but how
her.
How do you do that without distancing yourself from this person? Let's say the relationship was going to work out and you wanted the relationship to work out and you set up some healthy, how do you set up healthy boundaries with her where you don't distance yourself? You don't say, you know, okay, because I can take care of myself, I'm going to do so in a healthy way. I don't need you at all. Like, how do you not completely distance your emotions from that person, but then also have a healthy relationship? How do you set up the proper boundaries?
How do you set up those same boundaries within yourself? How do I know, you know, I'm injured right now and I want to go to the gym? How do I know how much to lift and how much to not lift? How do I have that same sense of I need to push in terms of I want the relationship to go forward, to grow, just like I want to grow.
You know, it sounds like this constant feedback loop that we have in the brain. We do something,
yes.
And then so the heart beats, and then that sends, you know, a signal to the brain. Well, I guess the brain tells the heart to breathe, whatever happens, however that works, you know. But there's this system, you know, you have a thought, an electric impulse goes to your leg to pick up your leg, and then that tells the brain that the leg picked up, and then that tells, you know, and then you can pick up the leg more, and then there's this constant feedback loop, and you're never just becoming out of tune with yourself. You're staying in tune with yourself so you can be a part of that feedback.
Absolutely. By the way, you're listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. You are today's on Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. Me and Kyle are talking about
how to have a healthy relationship with someone who has had trauma, who has maybe their father died when they were young, or they had parts of their body that exploded at one point and they had surgery done.
Or like the rest of us, we're getting older and things happen.
Right, yeah.
I mean, how do we conceptualize what trauma is to us? For some person, it's trauma, and the other person, it's not. It's completely, you know, based upon what are we creating with that. Trauma isn't, again, what happened. Trauma is what we did to ourselves and keep doing to ourselves and through others.
And so we have the people who identify that their identity stems from that trauma. And some people, they can talk about their trauma, but that's not what makes them who they are. It's when they talk about their trauma, they're not angry about it. They're not sad about it. They're just using it as a tool to create what they want to create today.
Yeah. Yeah. And so how do I, again, okay, so let's say I'm the traumatized person. How could I have set up a healthier relationship with somebody?
Right.
And the way that I do it is the same way that I'm doing it with myself. I could have used that same growth that I was doing within myself and do it with the other person and allow that other person to be free, regardless of the power differential that now I'm the weaker one, so to speak.
Right.
And they still need to be who they need to be and grow as they need to grow. And if the relationship doesn't work,
right,
doesn't mean I have to give them the power to destroy me or me to make them feel bad that they don't want to be with me.
Right. Now, what if you meet someone who has had trauma and they're talking about, you know, what happened to them and such? And how do you not go, oh, I'm so sorry you went through that, you know, and now you feel guilty and you feel sad. And different people talk about their trauma differently. The some people are looking for, they feed off of, because they have learned helplessness. They feed off of the empathy, off of the sadness that you get when you hear about their trauma. It's a learned behavior.
Well, Munchausen syndrome, where you go to the hospital and you will actually want the doctors. You'll actually cause yourself injury so that you'll get attention.
Wow. I don't know why you would want to be in all that fluorescent lighting, though.
You know? That's so true.
But it's
a good thing. You know, how are we feeding off others? You know? I mean, that's a really interesting point of how are we feeding off others to be who we need to be. And yes, you should care about others. Yes, it's good to have empathy for others, but not to get stuck in that.
Right.
It's like somebody lost somebody. There's no right words to say. Oh, I'm sorry that that person died.
Okay, now what do you want to create?
Yeah. I mean, and essentially that's what you want to do is like, it's sad. I got the sadness. And that's what we want to get to is I got the sadness. I got the pain. I want to be a real partner.
Right.
Regardless of power differentials, that one person's traumatized and is under the other, so to speak. We have one person higher and one person lower, one person stronger, one person not.
Right.
You know, you get those power differentials, let's say at work, where you got a boss and you got an employee, you know. But you also have those in relationships, and those are changing all the time. Some person's healthy, some person's not. Some person feels they are more attractive or more intelligent or more bringing in the money or more whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to be in a relationship, it's beholden upon you, regardless of if you're the one bringing in the money and you're the more attractive one and you're the more this one or the that one or whatever. You're the one choosing to be with somebody.
Right.
You chose that. What can you need to normalize that you guys are going to be partners? for a relationship to work, you have to have that sense of equality where you're both partners of creating something together.
Right.
And so regardless, so somebody's been traumatized, how can you work with them without getting stuck in their stuff? How do you not re-enable them to not deal with their issue, but to say, hey, I got your, you've gone through this. That's terrible. Got it. So what can we do together so that we can create something more productive and powerful for both of us?
Right.
A team.
Right. Yeah, it's like, for me, you know, I was just thinking, so, you know, it's like, there was, the school at MSAE, they were displaying, you know, their
DEI
part.
That's a day school here in Fairfield.
In Fairfield, Iowa. And they had this wonderful DI program where
it's a wonderful school, by the way, Maharishi School of
Age of Enlightenment.
MSAE. If anybody needs a day school, it's certainly they have some interesting concepts where, you know, if you're part of this community or not, one of the really interesting things about thinking about that kind of thing is thinking about the consciousness of the individual growing who you are.
Right.
And anyways, we're getting to the premises of the school. You know, it's another topic for another day.
So you have, so we have, so they had a DI thing and Elizabeth.
DI is Destination.
Imagination.
Destination Imagination. And so, very cool.
And so there was this really big thing that was happening at the school, and it's like, you know, and so I went there to support my girlfriend who works at the school as the music teacher, and I'm there supporting her, you know? And so it's not like I'm revolving my life around her. I'm there supporting her. So you can be there supporting someone, but, you know, when does it get to be, you know,
enabling, codependency?
Or codependent is when you start, you know, it's like, I've got this thing at work, or I've got this thing that I'm dedicated to that, you know, let's say it's like I'm here in Fairfield, and if going to DI meant not meditating, you know,
which is a good thing for you,
which is a good thing for me, and which is what I'm here for, then that's where it might start to become unhealthy, you know. But I got my meditation in before, and then I went and supported her.
But you're not just there to support her. You're also there to enjoy for yourself.
Right.
And so you find moments of enjoyment and interest, and it's actually a really incredible program.
Right, and it was fun to be there.
Yes, because you made it fun. You weren't just there for her.
Right.
So the problem with codependency is that we are dependent on somebody being dependent on us. And the problem with the codependency is that we get trapped in the other being there for us, that we need somebody else. Instead of going, what do I want to create regardless of the other? Because we can never change somebody else.
Right.
I mean, I try to change people for a living, and I can tell you that people don't always want to change, regardless of how much I think they should change. I cannot change. You cannot change your partner. They have to choose that for themselves. There is that notion of free will. God gave us that for whatever reason. So what are we choosing, right? And so we come back to that notion of what is it we're all choosing. And you cannot change somebody else. You just like you can't read somebody's mind. You can't dive into somebody's soul. We all have to create what we need to create for ourselves.
So if you have someone with trauma, if you're in a relationship with someone who has trauma, you can't change them. You can't tell them that their trauma doesn't matter. You can't tell them that...
No, their trauma obviously matters.
Right.
My trauma matters, but it's what am I doing with that trauma? So I'm using it, whatever difficulties.
Are you using it as a tool to enable a codependent relationship, or are you using it as a tool to create something healthy in this world?
And something healthy means that I am creating something where I want a real partnership with somebody in this context.
Right. And on equals.
Equals. Yeah, so we could create something more productive together. Again, if I'm choosing to be in a relationship, I'm choosing to create a team. How do I create a team? How do I create where we constantly are growing? because people want to get comfortable. They want to get trapped in their habits. I like my oatmeal first thing in the morning. I want to have a certain habit of getting up at a certain time, going to bed at a certain time.
Right.
Those are very good.
It's good
some
routine.
Habits. Those are excellent. You know, our habits really can and support us, but sometimes they could also trap us. Just like we could get trapped with somebody else, we could get too comfortable.
Right.
And we could get too comfortable in not wanting to change. Except we live in a relative world where everything changes.
Or we can get stuck in the idea that we're changing, but we're just getting more and more stuck in our head.
Yes. Yeah. So we need to not, you know, I think the problem isn't about the trauma. The problem is about getting trapped. You know?
Right.
So how do we not get trapped in life? How do we not get trapped in our difficulties? So I talk about moving past the idea of, for instance, and let's talk about addiction as an example. So I'm drinking, now I'm not drinking, now I'm trying to, I'm using something to not drink anymore, okay? But now the point is, I need to not be reliant on somebody else to not drink. I need to move past that not drinking to create something more powerful. Something more powerful is I'm not going to get stuck in any addiction, because if I stop drinking, I'm just going to pick up five other addictions or five other ways to not deal with the world,
right,
or whatever. How do I move past that to not be an addict to anything, because I'm not running away from anything anymore? I'm running towards what I'm creating, and what I'm doing is I'm creating that with somebody else to create a new life where we could create a difference in the world and our difference for
right.
ourselves.
I remember when I was smoking weed and drinking, and I was seeing getting counseling, and my counselor said, you know, well, what are you doing smoking and drinking still? And I said, oh, well, I'm doing it less than I used to. And he's like, that's fantastic, you know, but what are you still doing that? And
right, it was still a game that you were playing.
And
it's
said,
like, oh, I'm doing it less. It's
yeah.
like, okay, but it doesn't work for you. So what is this? I'm doing it less.
Right, yeah. And so,
you know, I'm smoking, but I'm smoking less.
I'm smoking less.
That's better, but it's still like,
yeah,
it's giving yourself cancer and it's constricting your blood vessels and it's still not working for
you. Right, he's asking me, are you a person who likes to put poisons in your body and intoxicate yourself, or are you not? And you know, and I'm not that person. I don't like to intoxicate myself. I don't like to put poisons in my body. And you know, my next goal is to get off the sugar kicks. And but you
for
know,
all of us got that one.
Yeah.
But you know, it's really about creating that next stage for yourself.
Right.
How do I do that? So how do we create that with somebody else? Which is your question you're posing today.
Don't take away my sugar, Scott.
how do we work together
right.
to get who do you really want to be in this life? Right? So the question you started with was this over-identification with the trauma. And as we end here in our last 30 seconds, how do we not get lost in that over-identification and get that too is changing? And allow that to change, that we don't need to be who we were.
I think
that
you
doesn't
keep creating
empower
more experiences
us.
Where we are empowered.
And create a new empowerment.
Right.
And we're creating that with a new vision with somebody else. Regardless of they're damaged. Well, guess what? You're damaged too.
Right.
All of us are damaged. All of us. And it doesn't matter that your damage is less or more than somebody else. What are we doing with our damage to make ourselves healthier, more powerful, and to make a greater difference in the world today?
Right. Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you, everyone. Well, thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Scott.
And this is Mental Health Matters, KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. Come listen to our other shows and make a difference today. This very day, as you're listening to this, commit to being more powerful and make a difference in your life and in the life with relationships around you now. Bye.
Bye.